Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you. We are just 6 short weeks from Easter, and as we prepare for Easter, if you're a guest this morning, we as a church are doing the Bible in a year, going through God's Word in a year, New Testament and or Old. If you haven't gotten one of those, you can pick those up in the Welcome Center, because if you're here this morning, you know that as believers, we are not going to be able to live God's will in our lives, God's abundance, and live as we should without being in and being students of, and not only being hearers of, but living and doing God's Word in our lives on a daily basis. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I want to encourage you to be in God's Word, and maybe add that if you already have a great devotional life. If you haven't started, it's not too late. We, over these next 6 weeks, as we prepare for Easter and be in prayer for Easter, as we are expecting just a phenomenal crowd at all 3 services and be in prayer that souls are saved, lives changed, that we impact our community and our area, we're going to take these next 6 weeks and be in the Bible from our Bible in a year, New Testament readings, and we're going to just dive into God's Word. Today we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. So whatever you have, device, etc., please open to Mark chapter 5 as we prepare to dive into God's Word. Mark 5, 21 through 43, this is, of course, where Jesus had crossed over and a great multitude was around him, and he was by the sea, and the certain man came, and his daughter was at the point of death, and asked Jesus that he would come and heal her. And on the way there, the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years and who had suffered many things from many physicians and was at her absolute wit's end, she came and asked Jesus to help to heal her as well. Then, of course, Jesus gets to the man's house, and the daughter, they say, is dead, and we'll dive into God's Word today. There are 4 takes, 4 things I want us to get from this passage in God's Word. And again, let me just encourage you that being in God's Word, it will feed you. It is alive and active, and you need it, because you will, every time, I've read this passage so many times, and every time I get something else from it. That's how the Lord works when we're faithful to read His Word. Verses 21 through 24. Mark 5, 21 through 24, it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by a boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Our first take from today: you must earnestly seek Jesus for healing and abundance. From this passage, you read this man, and it says in the Word, it says here that he went to Jesus, and he begged him earnestly. Let me ask you, in your prayer life, when you're asking the Lord to use you, when you're asking the Lord to help impact lives in the church and with lost people in and out of the church, and how you are a part of that, are you earnest about that? Are you even praying that? Are your prayers more, and these are good things to pray for, are they more just bless my house, keep us safe, all these things? Let me ask you, if you're a parent this morning, what's more important to you? That your children grow up to love the Lord Jesus and serve Him and love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you just way too concerned with straight A's and all state? And those are great things. But you need to let your focus be that they love the Lord Jesus. What about your time? Is every spare moment yours? And if you're so busy that there isn't time to serve or be a part of the church, you're too busy. What about your finances? It's good to save for retirement. It's good to pay our bills. It's good to do those things. But are you looking to and asking the Lord to help leverage the resources He's blessed you with to help meet the needs of those around you, to help the church be the church? Is the extra money you have about being used and being given away, as Jesus tells us to give away, or is it about how can I meet my needs or have more? This man begged Jesus earnestly. Let me ask you, how earnestly are you seeking the Lord daily? If you have lost people around you, and you do, your family, friends, workplaces, are you praying for them? Are you fasting? There's not a one of us here who can't give up a couple meals to show God we're serious about our prayers. And we're serious about lost people. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, are you anguished as you look and see the world and even your community around you? Are you asking and willing to let God use you to be a part of changing lives and changing that? Are you begging that He'll use the church? Are you earnest and sincere? This man said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Brothers and sisters, people all around you are at the point of death today. And not physical, sometimes that as well, but rather at the point that if they entered their eternity today, it would be hell and wailing and gnashing of teeth and darkness, never ending. And these people need you to love them and for you to show them and tell them the good news that is the gospel that is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. God has called you to serve them and engage them with the good news of what God has done and is doing in your life and what he will do for them if they will turn their heart to him and repent from their sins and give their lives to Jesus. If they meet Jesus, they can be healed and they will live. And here's the deal, guys. You and I are the vessels now that God is calling to reach and engage people as we live out our faith. Number one, you must be earnestly seeking Jesus for healing and abundance. Number two is that it's never too late. It's never too late. Do you notice here that Jesus did this miracle as he was on his way to do another one when this woman with the flow came to him? That wasn't even part of his agenda. But see, when you and I are plugged in and walking as Christ walked, and the Bible says we ought to walk as he walked, God will use you. You'll be fruitful. Let me ask you this morning, are you being used or are you walking through life on your own agenda? Are you sensitive to and willing to be used for the Lord above all else, or is it your own time, your own agenda, your own priorities? Are you too busy? Do you have lots and lots of excuses? Think about that this morning. And don't buy the lie that it's too late. It's you've messed up too much. You've not done enough. You're too old. You're just a brand new Christian. There's all kinds of excuses. Or maybe you just are struggling this morning. It's never too late for God to reach into your life and perform a miracle. Look at this man. His daughter was at the point of death. The woman with the flow, it was 12 years. It's never too late with God. And maybe it's your marriage or your children or your health or your finances or lost loved ones. Or again, maybe you think you've just messed up too much. If you're still breathing, it is not too late for you to repent and for God to change your eternal destiny and the circumstances in your life right now and also the destiny and the eternity of people around you. It's really what this is all about. Once again, we're not to be afraid of that that can destroy the body, but of that can destroy body and soul in hell. Think of the thief on the cross with his dying breaths. He repented. He turned to Jesus. Don't waste another day of your life not being sure of your eternity if that's where you are here this morning. And if you're here this morning and you know you're saved, don't waste another day not helping to affect the eternities of those around you and not living abundantly as God intends for you to do. There is a woman in our church, and she's one of the services this morning, I'm sure, but I'm not going to call her out. She's not as young as I am, and that's not real young. And she's maybe not even in superb health, and she has a job and a family, but she has been going around Hoopston and surrounding towns and knocking on every door, every apartment, every house that she can to invite people to church, to give them, we're doing some door hangers about the church and giving them, telling them about the gospel. Now, I know we don't need 350 people doing that, but boy, we need one or two or five or six. And so that's, I'm not trying to make any of us feel bad that we're not doing that, but what are you doing? It is not comfortable for her. It is awkward for her to go knock on those doors. Where are you getting out of your comfort zone to do something for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What are you doing? Third point this morning, verses 25 through 34. I want to talk about our faith for a couple of minutes. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out, turned around and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. How's your faith this morning? This woman thought, if I can just get a little bit of Jesus, if I can just touch him, get close to him. Is that your heart when you go through things in life? And is that your heart as you wake up every day? I need to spend a little time with the Lord before I start my day. The kids can wait. The breakfast can wait. The spouse can wait. Those emails can wait. I've got to get up. I've got to spend the Today Show. whatever it is, it'll wait. Sports Center men. The woman with the flow had tried literally everything else the Bible says. Every physician, every cure, spent all of her money. I bet she'd been on WebMD 100 times. And if you're here this morning, stay off WebMD, because if your nose is running and you go on there, you're going to be sure you're dead. WebMD is just a hypochondriac's playground. Ask yourself this morning, though, where are you going and what are you doing that's taking the place of God in your life? What are you going to that is you're trying to get satisfaction, relief, cure, whatever it is? Where are you going? To who? To what? What's taking the place of God in your life? Because anything the Bible calls an idol that takes the place of the Lord, and those can be good things. Some people are so wrapped up with their kids or with their careers or different things that they don't have time for God. And that's not God's design. See, we need that type of faith that says any amount of Jesus is better than anything else that this world has to offer. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26 says this. It says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. See, faith loves, and faith obeys, and faith trusts, and faith does. Guys, how are you doing with your faith? When you deny that temptation, when you say, I don't need this sin in my life, I don't need this thing in my life, I don't need to do this, I don't need to react, God will fight my battles for me. That is faith that says that's not natural or what I want to do or not do right now, but my life is not about this life, it's eternal. It's about the kingdom. It's about the journey. It's about God, and I'm designed to be with him forever in perfection. And this just isn't it. So I don't need to satisfy my flesh right now. I don't need to react. I don't need to talk back. I need to love and forgive and turn the other cheek. I need to obey. And as the old song says, standing on the promises of God, are you standing on those this morning? How's your faith this morning? Our fourth and final point this morning from verses 35 through 42 is for so many believers, and I see it in the world today, is really you just need to relax. You just need to trust God. You need to take a deep breath. Stop getting so upset. Stop letting every speed bump in life be the seeming end of the world to you, because I don't believe that shows our faith. Verses 35 through 42 says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, right here, so many of us would have did as they did and thrown our hands up and wailed, or when someone comes and pops off to us, or we don't like this, or we don't like that, we just instantly react or overreact more often. We hit post. We hit send. We do that. But as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But then he put all of them outside. He took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Children of God, relax. God has you. God has a plan no matter what. Stop giving in to every temptation. Trust God that it's better to resist and overcome. Stop reacting to every emotion and every person that upsets you. God will fight your battles for you. Stop worrying so much. Think eternally. Think big picture. In all things, give thanks. Stop wailing loudly and overreacting and realize you don't need to be afraid, only believe. Relax and let your faith be shown in how you live your life. They said, leave Jesus alone, she's dead. And he responded with these words, do not be afraid, only believe. When you live this out faithfully, trusting, obeying, and seeking the Lord with all of your heart, God will grant you victories and people will be amazed. But remember this morning, most importantly, no matter what, as we prepare to close, the disease that God wants you cured from, if you're not, the battle he wants you to win way more than cancer or anything else, is the battle over sin. The only incurable disease in the eternal perspective of the eternity of all of creation, of all of the universe, of all of humankind, the only incurable disease is sin, because it's the only one that has consequences that last for all of eternity. It's the only one. And Jesus said, don't be so afraid and worried about your body, or worried about this life. Worry about your eternity. Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you never have, you can come this morning and you can be forgiven from your sin. You can be saved, as we say, saved from an eternity unimaginably bad to an eternity unimaginably wonderful. You can be saved from your sin. God can set you free from your sin here this morning. Or maybe you need to pray that God uses you. Or maybe you're a believer, but you fall into this realm of everything's the end of the world and upsets you and you're mad all the time and you let people steal your joy. You know what you need to do, Jesus said? Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. If you need to come and pray this morning, would you come and pray as we close?